it started in here.
Wow, would you look at that?
When I wake up in the morning, love.
Dilly dilly.
And the sunlight hurts my eyes.
I love you.
And something without wanna love.
There's
heavy on my mind. Then I look at you.
Come here and cuddle!
And the world's alright with me.
Get over here!
Just one look at you.
Can you dig it?
Blah, 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 and blah, blah. Shut up and go away.
Can you dig it?
News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning and welcome to your Tuesday edition of Justice and Drew. I'm so glad you found all of those drops.
I've got two pages of drops that I just don't even look at anymore.
Oh boy.
Let's keep it that way.
Yay!
I am Drew. That man sitting directly across from me is John Justice.
Hello.
To my right, on the other side of two panes of glass, is the lovely, talented, radiant, golden-haired Sam Sansevier. Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
On the on the show today, Pete Hegseth will be joining us just after 8:30. And then with the caucuses taking place tonight, we've got Jeff Johnson calling in just after 8 o'clock. And then Keith Downey will be joining us right around 7:35 this morning in studio.
That's all accurate.
Yes.
Well done.
Those are all things that will happen.
I've had a very busy morning.
You had a rough morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nick's coming in Friday, right? Nick Zerwas?
Yes.
That's for the round table?
I think so.
Okay. Because one of them
wasn't coming in this week, and I forget which one.
Maybe. Well. Okay. If not, I gotta reach out to him because I want to propose some legislation. Okay. And we're gonna call this the United States Ink Cartridge Act of 2018. Okay, I want to start at the state level. We can move it to the federal level. But I want an investigation, and then I want regulation. Okay, into the printer and ink cartridge industry, because this is the biggest scam hiding in plain sight ever being perpetrated on the American public. I don't want answers. I want outrage.
You want justice.
So ridiculous, man. You have any idea how many printers that I've bought in the past like 9 years?
That's the scam.
The whole thing is such a racket. The stupid...
Printer companies right now are like, yeah.
The stupid ink, the ink absorption pads that to keep my printer from working, that whole thing is...
We need to go back to the days of the dot matrix.
The problem is...
I think you should just look at all the pages that you want to print out and then draw them.
It's...
Just transcribe them.
No, I'm not going to do that. So these stupid... There's these ink absorption pads, right? And when they get full, the printer no longer functions anymore. Okay, so you could go into the back of it and try to pull all these random pads out. Put them in water. Try to get all the ink out of it. And then if you get enough out, you can shove them back in and maybe get like another couple of weeks worth. But the deal is, it costs you... $55 for a package of two ink cartridges. You know how much a new printer costs? $60.
Yeah.
And it comes with two ink cartridges. Mm. So it's just easier to go buy. So I'm going to go buy another printer today. And I was going to go throw the other one into the trash, just like I do all the other. You know how many landfills are filled with my printers over the past 9 years?
You don't recycle them?
Such a scam. No, I don't recycle them.
You take them to Best Buy, and they have the electronics recycling.
Well, my Best Buy closed.
It's a sore subject. It would probably be easier.
Yeah, this is one of those things where he doesn't want advice.
No.
No, don't.
No, I don't want answer. I just want outrage.
I just want to yell.
It might be easier to get like a really nice camera, take a photo of your screen, and then like develop the print.
Yeah.
Take it to like Walgreens.
In a dark room and develop the print and then bring those in every day.
So I got most of the printing done, right? And I had a little bit that had to be printed this morning. So I'm like, okay, fine. You know what? I can print from here. I can do that. Okay. It's a pain beyond pain because it doesn't print up the way it needs to be formatted and all that, including. And
this at least is, it prints.
This is really just a visual, but we have a show sheet every day, right? And I couldn't print the show sheet up at home. So I printed the show sheet up here and it ended up making it like super small, so small on the page.
Aw, John, that I'll print couldn't you up even.
Yeah, I know. But I just, and then I get pages that have, I don't want to look at Nunez's face. I just want the words. And I don't want to have to reformat it on this computer because it's Microsoft and I want to use my Mac. Gah! Sorry.
It's all right. You got to get it out of your system.
Yeah.
That's what this segment is for. Get it out of your system.
See, and I got to take the dog to the vet today at 10, right? Okay. And Melinda doesn't want to take a dog to the vet because she doesn't want to hear bad news. This is my dog, so I'm taking the dog to the vet. Now I got to take the dog to the vet. Well, she doesn't want to be there if there's bad news. This is what she wants me to sort of absorb the bad news. So I'm down with that. But now when I get the dog back, then I got to make a run over to get another printer today, and then I have to plug it back in and do all the driver crap and just anyway.
I'm sorry.
The little light's been flashing at me for a month. It's my fault.
Would you like me to take over the printing, dude?
I've got a printer that I've had for many years.
It's very reliable.
Maybe just buy the one that Drew has.
No.
What are you doing to your printers?
You want to buy my printer?
Okay, listen.
$300.
What I want from you right now, from both of you, is we're almost done. We got Sam's Top 5 on the way. All that I want is for you just to listen to me and take it. That's it. I'll be done. Just take it. You're in another room, but Drew, just take it.
I'm fine with that.
And then I'm done.
I will offer no remedies or solutions.
But I do. I am the USICA is my act. The United States Inc. Cartridge Act of 2018. I want an investigation and I want regulation because the printer companies
put Mueller on this.
Just do that.
Get something.
Such a scam. It doesn't cost that much. And like the cartridge world, whatever. Oh, we'll save you like $3. And then half of them, it don't work. Such a... Oh. It's ink. It's ink. It costs like a nickel to fill one of those things up. It's ridiculous.
651-989-5855 if you want to lament your printer woes.
I'm done.
With your kindred spirit, John.
I'm done. I've said my piece. Thank you for indulging me.
Meanwhile, Sam is in there scouring the internet. While throwing jabs at John unnecessarily.
I ain't throwing no jabs.
Nah, she's actually had prime target, and she's really holding back. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I feel like you've sensed my woundedness right now. I'm just going to leave you alone.
She set the salt to the side.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? Maybe now's not the time.
We'll bring you Sam's top five stories you need to know to kick off your Tuesday next. Justice in Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Welcome back to your Tuesday edition of Justice. Drew, look, we got a fully to scale, correctly printed run sheet. Thank you, Sam.
You hold the reset.
Printing's good.
You hold the reset button down, and it's the button that's got a little red diamond on it. And then you hold it down when you turn the power on. And then once it comes on, you press the reset button fast 5 times while holding them down, and then let them both go. And then count 5 seconds and press the power button twice, and then it resets the printer.
I think it would be easier.
I'm very confused right now.
I think it'd be easier to like buy a block of rubber and like a carving tool and carve out what you want to print and then just stamp it on paper.
Lot of stone tablets.
Yeah, or just like
and a little like chisel and hammer, you know, and just St. Paul Mayor.
Those
Melvin Carter.
Those are better ideas because my little coding thing didn't work because I tried it 15 times.
Like whatever you just explained sounds more complicated than just doing that.
Yeah,
stone carving and stamp making.
What is so maddening is that their videos of dudes doing that, doing the coding, and then it works. And I just follow the video.
Videos of lies.
I follow the video, and I do it exactly the way that I got it, and nothing.
Those videos are lying to you.
Yeah, I think
those videos called loose ink?
Yeah. He said, push it 5 times fast.
Did you try turning it off and back on?
What's the? I'm trying to think of the word. What's the word where you take like the charcoal and you took the paper on the thing and it's sort of raised
that,
up a little
that
bit
thing,
and you
yeah,
just
kind
of scrub it.
This is the scrub. It's called scrubbing.
It's called scrubbing.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I can't remember what it's called.
No, I need to get one of those big machines like I saw in the Post of how they used to make the newspapers and they just print all those little blocks of the printing press. Any big printing press.
Rent the house next to yours because you need a lot of room, so you have to rent two houses and fill that other house with a printing press.
To become a newspaper distributor.
I did get this.
Show front.
I got this fantastic cross journal from my mom for Christmas. I'm just gonna start writing down all the stories of the prep, and then I'll do that in double, and then I'll just give Drew my handwritten news stories.
I don't like that. I'll just print my own.
But you want to make sure that they're perfect matches. So you'll have to get a pad of tracing paper too.
Okay. All right. It's all really good advice.
It's easier than figuring out your printer problem.
We have five things, right? Because I mean, this advice is great.
No, I'm not done etching them into stone. Give me a minute.
Let's get right into Sam's top five stories you need to know for a Tuesday.
Number one.
Nunes has set his sights on the State Department next and says the FISA memo is only phase one. From Fox News, the furor over House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes' push to release the surveillance memo is only the beginning. The Republican chairman said on Monday that the release of the long-awaited document on alleged law enforcement surveillance abuse was only phase one of his investigation, and the next phase will involve probing the State Department for what he called irregularities. He told Fox and Friends, what we will do in phase two is follow the facts where they lead, and when we get enough facts, we will figure out a way to let the American people know.
This is all well and good, and I'm glad he's doing this, because I do believe that there is corruption at all levels of government, because there always has been, and there always will be to some extent. And I do believe that the Obama administration sort of weaponized a lot of these departments and a lot of government agencies to cause harm to his political opponents. And this is not uncommon. This is not unusual in American history or any history whatsoever. The question I have is, this is all well and good, but when do we get the accountability?
We're not.
When does that happen?
We're not.
Like, when does anything get done about it?
We're not. The best that's going to end up coming out of this is that maybe moving forward, this perhaps will happen less often than it does. It's so politicized right now. We need to go through the process. Everything needs to be investigated. We need to know the full extent, because we have a subsequent story a little bit later on about whether the FBI did or didn't know that this was funded by the DNC and Clinton. And for me, I don't care. If the FBI knew that it was funded by the DNC and the Clinton campaign, it makes it even worse in my view. Mm-hmm. But it's totally politicized right now. And so, and to that degree, look, I don't believe there was Russia collusion with the Trump administration and the Russians. If it turns out there actually is real evidence, okay, I will go and address it then. But right now, I don't. And so we're going to go around in circles. Mueller's going to do his investigation. There'll be talking points on both sides until at some point in time it ends or Trump's not in office anymore.
Yeah, they just drag these things off out long enough because they just know, well, there's another election coming up. And by the time that one's done, everybody will have forgotten about this.
Yeah, it doesn't mean we don't draw attention to it. It doesn't mean we don't cover it. It doesn't mean that it's not important. But you also need to be, I'm not saying you, but just, I guess, me. You got to be rational about it, about where this is going. People should be held accountable, but they more than likely won't be.
Nunes has come under heavy fire in recent weeks for making public that four-page Republican-authored memo on the use of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act under the Obama administration. But after the memo was published on Friday with the blessing of the White House, he and GOP committee members keep on making it clear that they're just getting started. He went on to say, phase one of our investigation was getting to the FISA abuse. What we're looking at now is the State Department and some of the irregularities there. He noted that the committee has several other areas to probe. He first mentioned the next phase of the investigation Friday on Fox News special report.
And it's likely that we'll get the Democrat response memo. Mm-hmm. Today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to be on board with releasing it, and the indications from the White House is that they will approve its release.
Sure.
And again, it probably just says nuh-uh.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I want to know everything there is to know.
Number two.
The Dow dropped 1,175, the biggest ever point drop. From Channel 5, the Dow Jones Industrial Average plunged 1,175 points, or 4.6%, erasing its gains for the year. The Dow's drop on Monday was its biggest in terms of points, but it had a larger percentage drop as recently as in 2011. The Dow is down 8.5% from the record high it hit in late January. The stock market closed sharply after extending a week-long slide as the Dow Jones Industrial Average plunged more than 600 points. The slump began on Friday as investors worried that higher inflation and interest rates could derail the long-running rally. At one point, the Dow was down as much as 1,600 points. The Dow ended at 24,345.
Yeah, and this shouldn't come as too big a shock to people when you have, you know, the increases that we've seen over the last year, really. I mean, especially last 6 to 8 months, there's going to be some corrections. There's going to be some people saying, you know, it's time to get out. It's time to cash in all these gains. So this doesn't come as a huge shock. What strikes me is the level of like near giddiness with which this has been covered in a lot of the media. You know, if you watched CNN yesterday when they were reporting on this, they were practically smiling,
right,
when they were reporting this, because, you know, you just got that sense of like, good, you know, I'm tired of Donald Trump being able to brag about how well the stock market and the economy's doing.
Yeah, they immediately politicized it. Now look, Trump came out and said and touted the stock market and how well it was doing as part of the economic gains that we've been all benefiting from. Okay. The reality is, when you have the stock market doing well and you couple it with other economic indicators, it's a good overall picture. The flip side to that is when the stock market does a drop like this, and what goes up must come down. I mean, it does erase the gains. It wasn't like it plummeted back in 2008. The reality is, when you have a drop like this in the stock market, you have to then go look at those other economic indicators. Okay, so the stock market plunged. How's the jobless rate? How's the GDP? How is consumer confidence? All of those things are still in the plus. So the economy is still good. Right?
Sure.
This really goes and focuses more on, at least in my opinion, how don't always couple a good economy with how the stock market is doing, because you might get into a situation like what we had yesterday.
And don't politicize the stock market so much.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's on, you know, Donald Trump is, it bears some of that, because if you're going to go brag and take credit for how well the stock market is doing, when it does eventually go back down, when it does slump a little bit, people can use your bragging and taking credit for it against you.
And they will.
Just get politics out of the stock market. We'll continue with Sam's Top 5 coming up right after this.
Justice in.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice to Andrew, along with Sam. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. John problems.
Seriously. John during the break, he's on his computer. Oh, great. Now all my recommended videos on YouTube are going to be about printer repair.
You're going to be haunted by printers.
Yeah, it would
be. Look at my
watch history.
That's exactly what happened.
Me and owls.
Because Sam came into the studio and I had YouTube open and my watch history was up, and this just littered with all these how to reset the printer absorber on a Canon M3000, right? When you have an error code 5B00, because I have it all memorized now. And it was that, no, Drew pointed it out. It's like, oh man, the algorithms are going to get jacked up. And I'm like, dang it, you're right.
When I get your recommended video.
Yeah. When I finally get everything done today that I got to get done and I go to relax, one of the things I do is I go on YouTube and I just kind of chill out for a while. And you're right, my recommends are going to be, you know, combinations of Super Bowl trailers, right, Star Wars, and then a bunch of random how-to printer videos.
Your algorithm's like, this guy really likes printers.
How many times have you watched the Solo trailer?
Quite a few. I should put it up on the website. In fact, I will. Somebody made an amazing supercut of the teaser and the full teaser. So I've been watching that one. Yeah, not like on repeat, but I've watched it several times.
Okay.
Yeah. On a loop.
Yeah, I was actually checking my podcast numbers. That's why I was actually went into YouTube to my podcast yesterday.
He actually has the video, the Solo trailer on a loop, and he just played it while he was sleeping the whole time.
Over and over and over again. What, you don't? That's normal.
It's like Baby Beethoven, make you smarter. for Star Wars.
651-989-5855. Reminder, we do have Keith Downey, gubernatorial candidate, coming in at 7:35. Jeff Johnson, gubernatorial candidate, on at 8. And Pete Hegseth from Fox News, who's at a diner in Ohio right now. I just saw him on the TV. He'll be joining us at 8:35 this morning. We did leave off, though, in the midst of Sam's top five.
Number three.
There were no major Super Bowl troubles, just the usual drunken debauchery. From the Pioneer Press, a Minneapolis police official said on Monday that the Super Bowl went smoothly and there were no arrests for major incidents. John Elder, a department spokesman, said that is largely thanks to our law enforcement partnerships, as well as our volunteers and the people that attended with positive intentions. This was a successful Super Bowl.
Good.
Yeah. Elder didn't have information on Monday about how many Super Bowl-related arrests police had to make, but he said that they consisted of the usual drunken debauchery. Overall, arrests in downtown Minneapolis were down significantly during the week leading up to the Super Bowl. There were 75 arrests between January 26th and the start of Sunday, which was 42 fewer than that same period a year earlier.
It makes the year earlier sound terrible. What was going on?
It does.
Yeah, right?
The arrests encompassed all sorts of activity in the first precinct, not only related to the Super Bowl.
Well, hold on. You sort of look at that rationally. Where was it? Where was the one previously? You remember? Where was
the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
last year.
Yeah,
Dallas.
Was it? Was
I think
warmer climate, right? Okay, so that might have had a big part of it. It is so cold outside. No one wants to go and, you know, partake in shenanigans when it's as cold as it was.
That's
so
a fair
point. I bet that's probably the biggest factor.
Yeah, it was really cold last week. Police attribute the drop in arrests to a very high police presence.
Or that.
And then.
So you're saying that a high and visible police presence is a deterrent to criminal activity? Gosh, we've only been saying that on the show for several years now. Mayor Fry, are you listening?
He also said that he also attributes it to a lot of security, military personnel, and people around. There's less chance someone is going to commit a crime if there are people around and a lot of witnesses.
Downtown, and also their decision to not arrest people blocking the light rail.
Right.
That would have bumped up the numbers a little bit.
Quite a bit.
Oh, but then we wouldn't have good numbers. Downtown crime reports were also down. The only area that saw an increase was auto theft. Elder said that's likely because people start their vehicles and leave them unattended, which is a violation of city ordinance.
People do that a lot in the winter.
I do it, but I live out in Buffalo. Nobody goes by my house.
You need to make
don't
your
steal my car.
You need to make your comment to Jacob Fry sometime, like after 7 o'clock. Right now, he's doing his morning ritual of watching Baby Buck.
Number four,
former Representative Michelle Bachmann says she will not run for Senate. From the Star Tribune, appearing on Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markle, Bachmann said that she prayed and did not receive a message from God to run. That's a lie. She got one on a billboard. Either way, she said, I took it to the Lord in a very quiet way. I tried to have my ears open and hear what God was saying to me, and I considered it for quite a long time. It became very clear to me that I wasn't hearing any call from God to do this.
Or donors.
Or the billboard that told, no. Bachmann served four terms in Congress from the 6th Congressional District from 2007 to 2014 and was an unsuccessful GOP candidate for president in 2012. She is beloved by Christian conservative activists, is a strong supporter of President Trump, and remains one of Minnesota's most well-known Republicans. A Bachmann candidacy against the newly appointed Senator Tina Smith.
Hey!
Right?
Yeah, they're finally catching on.
They actually named her. Well done.
It would have turned into a race, turned the race into an overnight sensation, according to this article. Smith was formerly an executive at Planned Parenthood Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota. State Senator Karen Housley is the only major Republican candidate to have declared against Smith.
And it's looking like Karen will not have a Republican challenger, which is probably good. There's the argument that, you know, having a good primary and / endorsement challenge makes for a stronger campaign. But there's also the flip side of that where, you know, if you don't have that, it allows the donors to sort of coalesce around one candidate, and it does help out with the fundraising, and you don't have to spend the money on an endorsement or primary challenge. So kind of hoping that stays that way. I think Housley could be a pretty strong candidate. She's got a name ID, you know, a challenge to overcome against Tina Smith. Tina Smith obviously is going to be a lot more well known across the state, but Karen is a solid candidate.
Yeah, from what we've seen, her fundraising efforts have been solid so far, and maybe not having a challenger. There's pros and cons either way, like you said. I mean, you can make an argument that having a challenger raises the name ID. You can say that not having a challenger raises the name ID. So
yeah, I'm glad Bachman's not getting in with especially with the rumors of Pawlenty, you know, running for governor, which. You know, every day seems to be getting a little louder. And
wasn't he out door knocking over the weekend? Were you just saying hi to people?
Hey, remember me?
Hey, everybody. Just so you know, I'm retired from politics, but I wanted to come by and say hi.
Be very, very retro to have, you know, two statewide races with Bachman and Pawlenty on the ballot. So I'm glad Bachman did not hear what she was expecting to hear. I don't know.
Number five.
Pay your respects to the Uptown Arby's sign at this candlelight vigil from the City Pages.
Stealing this idea from Alabama.
Yeah, pretty much. From City Pages, as news of the Uptown Arby's closure broke last week, many wondered what would become of the iconic 10-gallon hat sign. It's kind of a tragedy, and it's why Noah Heavey, the organizer behind a February 9th candlelight vigil for the sign, is 100% not kidding. He said, I fully intend to actually show up. I'm completely serious about actually trying to get people to show respect for the loss of landmark that was apparently around for 47 years.
I think it's cool.
I think it's cool, too.
I mean, it's obviously, you know, tongue firmly planted in cheek, but it's fun. It's fun for people to go and do.
And it looks like he isn't the only one. He posted the event on Sunday afternoon, assuming a few dozen friends who were equally bummed about the loss would want to join him. But he's going to have to buy some more candles. In less than 24 hours, more than 2,000 people clicked to say they're interested. It's possible that those interested and attendings are ironic, but Heavey hopes people will actually turn out. There was, after all, that recent and very well-attended vigil for a burned-down Alabama Taco Bell. And either way, he says that he'll be there to pay his respects. Heavey said, entering the uptown area, that was always one of the first things you see. To me, it was basically a landmark. Back in my teenage days, as a kid who grew up in the suburbs, I didn't know my way around much and got lost driving around sometimes. That giant Arby's sign was so recognizable, it was cemented in my mind as a kind of beacon, giving me an idea as to where I was.
Yeah, no, and I echo those sentiments. That's sort of how you know, okay, I'm in Uptown now. You know, I'm coming in on, what is it, Lake Street, I guess, and you see the big Arby's hat, and you're like, okay, now I am here. Now traffic's going to get bad.
The question I have is who's getting the sign? Because that's gonna be worth some bucks, you know. I mean, a lot of individuals who do restoration of these signs. I mean, these end up becoming sort of historical artifacts. I mean, there's been entire communities that have gone and actually grabbed old signs from a particular region's heyday and then dotted streets of them where people can come and actually look at the neon signs and all that. This sign is probably going to be worth quite a bit of money. Hopefully, it's not just tossed in some warehouse somewhere.
Something. Kind of humorous and ironic, though, about a bunch of uptown hipsters lamenting the loss of, you know, a corporate chain, national fast food Arby's. Like, they like the sign being there, but they would never actually go there and eat.
Right.
If you like the sign and you want it to stay there, then you needed to go buy some roast beef sandwiches.
Love me some Arby's.
They have the meats.
Yeah, they do have the meats and the mozz, too. The mozzarella sticks. It's good stuff.
Well done, Sam.
Thank you.
Stellar top five.
Thanks. Speaking of signs, I wonder where the Super Bowl stuff's going to go. I know most of it'll just get tossed, but
some of it was ripped off by Eagles fans. Apparently,
there's a lot of that stuff collectors will go and scoop up. You know, I wonder if they're trying to if there will be any apart from the stuff that got ripped off by Eagles fans.
They took chairs. Did you see that?
They're crazy.
They ripped chairs out of the stadium.
when the zombie apocalypse starts, it starts in Philly.
How do you get away with that?
That's apparently the
biggest. How do you walk out of U.S. Bank Stadium with chairs?
Probably the same
and have
way.
Nobody go, hey.
Yeah. It's really. Well, you're
what
in
do you got there?
You're in a crowd of people. They're purple. You know, I don't know if there's other purple around, but I suppose they're just in a crowd of people. People are walking out with chairs. But then what are you going to do with the chairs?
Here, hide this under your jacket.
You take it on a plane with you?
Right.
Your seat on a
what
seat?
What are you doing with those?
By the way, I don't want to say vindication because you guys weren't giving me a hard time about this, but I was onto something yesterday. Washington Post
Why do fans riot after a win? Mm-hmm. The science behind Philadelphia's Super Bowl chaos. Fire in the streets, smashed windows, flipped cars, light poles toppled, alcohol-fueled crowds. Psychologists and sociologists have studied the phenomenon of sports fan violence and have found some interesting answers. Researchers attribute to violent behavior to a heady mixture of factors, including intense fan identification with the team, behavioral changes when people become part of a mob, and the strong psychological and physiological responses when your team wins or loses. Yeah, I mean, there's a science behind the whole thing. This made me laugh. Rioting in the United States is usually limited to... Let me back up. So, sports fan violence occurs all over the world. The American fan is unusual in a few ways. So, unlike European soccer, in which fans of opposing teams often hurt each other, fans rioting in the U.S. usually are limited to violence or vandalism directed at inanimate objects. So we're more prone to go and hurt things that aren't other people.
Right.
Where in Europe they'll go and hurt each other.
Yeah.
American fan riots typically occur when a championship or high stakes playoff games. This particular individual who's a part of this Kent State University studies collected stats from the 1960s and 70s. And when American sports fans riot, it's almost always in celebration of a victory rather than a defeat. What's really fascinating about it, it's a lengthy piece, and they kind of break down the identification of ardent fans. The team becomes an extension of the fan, and that can have a profound effect on people's psychology and even their physiology, right? And they try to measure that effect. What's really interesting to me, they don't talk about it in the article, but you take their methodology, and you apply it to your political or societal violence that takes place, and there's a lot of comparisons. Yeah. People identifying with a particular group or cause, mm-hmm. who then have that group or cause that's threatened, which ends up having the same effect of a sports fan in celebration, you
right.
know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's the mob mentality. The mob mentality, I think, is a huge part of it. You get into a crowd of people, and people in that crowd start doing certain things. That may be something that you would never, ever do individually, but you get this sort of... You feel sort of anonymous,
right?
When you're mixed in with the mob, when you're mixed in with the crowd, and there's a there's sort of an immunity sense that comes about you. Like, well, I can get away. Everybody else is doing this,
right?
And it allows you to sort of unleash things that you would never ever consider doing if you were by yourself.
Did you go to Kent State? Because you're echoing everything they're saying in the article.
I did not.
The effect manifests itself physically. Fans' testosterone levels often increase after a team wins and decrease when they lose. So where does the urge come from? As Drew just said, most agree the mob mentality has a lot to do with it. In the study after study, psychologists have shown that people often behave differently in big crowds. In crowds, people often lose their self-awareness, feel a sense of safety in numbers. And then there's also alcohol, which adds fuel to the action.
Yeah. Yeah, mix in the booze.
You apply all of this to what we saw with the violence of Antifa. And here you had a circumstance of... a number of different factors. You know, you had sort of the being a part of a group or organization. You had the anonymity because so many of them were hiding their faces. Mm-hmm. And then you have the mob mentality where they were going out together and committing these acts of violence. Incredibly, incredibly dangerous. But even when you look at the, on a different level, but the justification that people will go and give to themselves for blocking light rail like they did over the weekend. Now, it's not violent, and they're not being very emotionally or physically involved, but that courage to go and take part in that is strictly because they've got a group of people around them, and they're all in it. They're all in it together.
Yeah, yeah. That sense of immunity, that sense of anonymity really takes over, and you feel like you can just get away with whatever it is you want to get away with.
Yeah. We need to find... Well, we talked about yesterday, like, channeling people into a stadium where they can go and break stuff. What do you do? Is there something that we can have those individuals that want to shut stuff down, and they can go and stop, you know? I don't know. Stop a line somewhere else that we don't mind being. Have some think on it.
Direct them to the Met Council.
That's a good idea.
Shut that down.
Okay, I'm good. That's good. That's good. I didn't have any jokes. That was really good, though. I was working on one, and it never manifested.
651-989-5855, or use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. You want to communicate with the show throughout the morning.
Coming up, We will give you the latest out of Politico when it comes to the Nunes memo. Also, speaking of activism, Minnesota vaccination activists.
That's a new term.
Yeah, vactivists. We'll talk about that coming up on Twin Cities News Talk.
Justice